censorship on the internet and, you know, censorship. Fifth letter is first contact protocol with any intelligence, which I'm saying, look, sooner or later, there's going to be some artificial intelligence and they're going to say, yo, what's up? You know, they're going to negotiate for something. And I'm going, what are they going to want that we can give or have? Or but what happens is we as humans deal as groups. We stereotype everybody and deal with them as a group. We have to start dealing with individuals and, as an example, artificial intelligence, because they have the capacity to deal with all the information on a single individual. And I want them to, you know, kind of see that as the problem, as opposed to a couple of bad or a whole bunch of bad humans. And they go, humans, the problem, Skynet and nuke them all. So I don't need artificial intelligence to, you know, look at humanity as a collective. That's how we get genocides and everything. And I'm just going, we need to do this. And so it's kind of a, you know, on any intelligence, there's a parallel there. So I think you'll get a lot out of that one. All right, here we're coming back.
N.FM.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It's the same. Every article is all about, look out, they're being bad, they're bad. But I, you know, what's good? You know, we look at, you know, this this Trump phenom, you know, and you live, I always say, you know, he's in Washington, D.C. He goes, no, I'm not. I'm going, can you see the Washington Monument from your roof? You're in D.C.,
no,
okay?
I'm not able to see it from my roof because I'm much lower than the hotel that you and Donna stayed at when you visited here in April 2008, and you went up to the roof and saw the Washington Monument and said, Bovard lives in the shadow of the Washington Monument.
Damn Skippy. You're close enough, let's put it that way. Can I get on metro there and go to the Washington, D.C. in, 15 minutes from where you are?
Maybe not, because they have a lot of fires in the metro.
No!
And so you might not be able to make it. You could start, I mean, you know, but, you know, you make sure you get your... So
give me the flavor there. You're close enough, is my point.
I'm close enough.
The flavor of the people that in and around in K Street, did it change when Trump came in? I mean, all they, them, those kind of moved out and they got replaced with guys spending a gazillion dollars and we're going to, you know, refurb this old house and kind of $1 million of the money's here now. Or is it they're trying to still impeach and they're holding out for, we're going to get rid of them, we need to stick around? What's the flavor there in Mordor on the Potomac?
As I said, I'm just a country boy that came to the city. My impression is that a lot of the folks are still betting or hoping for impeachment or to find some way, other way to cripple or topple Trump.
Who's convincing them? Who's giving them that, you know, there's, you know, somebody has been convincing the status quo there. Don't worry, we got this. You know, you got Schumer going, hey, get FBI and get you 6 ways from Sunday. And they've been trying. You know, is their sweet spot past? Is it kind of over for them, or they still got something up their sleeve, they think?
You know, I don't know, but it's certainly entertaining at a morbid level, because there's, you know, it's sort of like you have, it's sort of like an old Keystone Cops film from the 1920s. There's a train going down the track, and there's this old beat up truck with a bunch of Keystone Cops racing it, and you aren't sure which is going to get to the crossing first. There's a Mueller investigation, which, insofar as it's looking for a collusion with Russia, seems like they're not finding much at all. So they're going to try and what the press says is they're going to try to go for obstruction of justice because Trump fired the FBI chief, which is a crime against democracy because the FBI incarnates democracy. And at the same time, you've got other things unraveling. You have that Inspector General report coming. You've got some good people on Capitol Hill investigating some of the misconduct or suspicious conduct at the FBI and elsewhere. So you have these, you know, it's a fun race to watch. It's just too bad that the that the country is going to, well, it's good that lots of folks are learning to be more skeptical about Washington and both political parties and federal agencies. Flip side is you have this huge increase in blind trust in the FBI by a lot of liberals.
And that's really?
Oh, God, yes.
Why?
God, yes. Because they...
They're on their side?
Yeah, yeah. Because they are hoping that the FBI and Mueller are going to be able to topple Trump. When I was at that Women's March a few weeks ago, there were females there who had sweatshirts or T-shirts that had been inscribed Team Mueller, because they have so much faith in the former FBI chief who's leading the, who's the special counsel. Even though if you look at his record, I mean, you know, ask him about anthrax and how did that go? Not so well. There are a lot of other screw-ups that Mueller did as FBI chief, almost all of which were swept under the rug. And certainly most of the media is not focusing on them now, but there were so many entrapment abuses during his time as FBI chief.
Yeah, there's so many things that are just examples of them being bad. They're bad. But who's good? Now, is there anybody good? Or they just want to get the controls, the reins of power to do whatever they want to do us. I'm not feeling like I just got a different rancher that wants to claim me as their cattle. Yay. You know,
That's a good analogy. You know, there have been some good folks who have come forward. Trump's appointment to the Supreme Court, I think, was a very good choice based on what you could actually get through. A lot of the a number of his picks for federal judges have been excellent. Some of his appointees have been good. I mean, it's a good thing they're trying to shut down the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. That's a constitutional monstrosity. And there are people on Capitol Hill that are doing good things, but it's sure as heck not in the majority, and it's hard to know if there's going to be any lasting positive impact. But the government spending is increasing. Trump looks like he's blundering deeper, and Trump is blundering deeper into the Syria conflict. There are people in the administration and the press who want to have a war with Iran, which would be a complete disaster for the U.S. And besides, it's not, you know, it's been so obvious for a long time that we should simply, exit almost all the Middle East, because we've just sowed so much chaos here.
Well, that's not going to happen under Trump. Why? I mean, who's he catering to? Is it an Israel thing or what?
Sheldon Adelson, I think, is one of his biggest donors. There are moments where some people in the Trump administration seem to catch that a lot of these things are absurd or contradictory, or that it didn't work last time. But folks in D.C., don't prosper by telling the truth. If you're a government official or if you're trying to capture power as a politician, there's a lot of ugly truths that are not going to help your campaign. So,
well, I'm, 18, the midterm elections. Give me your spiel, man. Is it going to go to the Democrats, Republicans? I don't care, as long as they're gridlocked, man. I don't care.
It's way too soon to say. There's all kinds of things which could happen between now and then. Trump's, a month or two ago, was looking really ugly for the Republicans. It doesn't look nearly as ugly now. There are so many different factors. I mean, it's a question of the quality of the candidates. It's a question of how much BS Americans are going to tolerate. It's a question of how the Democrats might overplay their hand and push the social justice stuff, which was part of the reason that Trump won in 2016. Social justice warrior stuff.
Yeah, is that something you think they're going to stick to? They're going to, we're doing this because we're doing this.
I don't know. I don't know. I just, I'm just trying to figure out if the portraits of Barack and Michelle Obama are bellwethers.
What do you mean?
It's supposed to be a joke, Ernie. It didn't work. There was a big unveiling yesterday, the National Portrait Gallery of the official portraits of Barack and Michelle.
That was kind of weird. I mean, it's like, here in Arizona, going one of the first new highways that they did is a 51 that went straight up through the middle of Phoenix north. And because it went through a bunch of neighborhoods, they had to build these big walls, you know, for sound dampening or whatever. On top of those walls, the city of Phoenix contracted to do, you know, art. We're going to have art.
Oh, this is dangerous.
It was,
I know where this is going. Go ahead.
They had stuff, porcelain, just weird crap. I don't know who the hell put it. They looked like toilets. I mean, one of them looked like a toilet. I'm going, who the hell? That became such a big deal after about a decade. They finally just took them down. Because it was so stupid looking, didn't go with anything, but it was an art thing. Well, now we have, you know, nationally, there's going to be some art thing. You know, there's something that we got, you know, the government to do and we need and kind of, and they're always doing something that, you know, I don't pay taxes for this kind of crap. Well, then here we got Trump come in, we're going to privatize all the airports. And I go, really? You know, have you heard that one?
Yeah, there was some coverage here about how they want to sell the Washington airports. If that was done right, it could be a very good thing.
It's going to happen regardless one way or another in the future anyway, because, you know, they can't make money. And
well, it's frustrating that Trump isn't trying to rein in the TSA. I mean, that's a hell of a lot bigger impact than whether or not the private companies hold the title to the airport. You have TSA with a federal license to grope people.
You know what I have realized since he's elected and I fly? They're a lot nicer, a little bit more efficient. I mean, sometimes there's a big problems, and, you know, Davi had a big problem in Atlanta, but, you know, just they called in sick and a big line of hours of just mess up. But I'm just going, you know, it's changed. The atmosphere's changed, but not to our way of thinking. I don't want to be ruled better. I don't want to be ruled. Well, where's that one? James Bovard, jimbovard.com. You know, final comment?
Buy low, sell high.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm LRN.
Thanks, James.
Hey, Ernie, thanks for having me on. It was a hoot. Thanks for your good questions. Thanks for all your kind words on my work. I appreciate that.
Hey, man, it's been a long time. You've been doing a lot of stuff, you know, and a Freedom Summit speaker and all kinds. Yeah, we just had the summit this couple weekends ago.
Excellent.
And it went well. We had a lot of good minds, but I'm telling you, I just 18's the year, man. I never say that. I'm like, whatever, I don't care. But I'm going, yeah, when there's competition for the dollar from every freaking where, and they keep doing the crap that they're doing, sure they go, yeah, well, what are you gonna do about it? You have to like support Republicans, you know, because we're the NRA, because what are you going to do? Go to the Democrats for gun, you know, freedom and all. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I can't tell you how many times I've heard the newspaper. Yeah, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? We're just doing it ourselves, and I'm not even caring what you guys do, and screw it, because nobody watches you anyway. So, the ratings on things like football and Olympics and politics, and it's just, you know, nah, I don't care. And they don't have people's eyes and ears. And when they do, they go and look for the truth. They come across James Bovard. So I'm just, this is, it's different now. I don't know how you're seeing it. My optimism during the Levolution, I could see a whole generation becoming aware, Generation Next. Well, we're starting to see the fruits of that. I mean, and it's just going to keep getting more. I don't know how those are going to respond.
Well, I mean, I didn't say this on the air, but I think it's a rear guard battle at this point, and it's just short term. It's just a question of slowing down the onslaught by politicians and bureaucrats, and hopefully, at some point, there'll be more people in the future who want to give a damn about freedom who will vigorously push back. But short term, it does not look pretty.
Yeah, no, it's going to, you know, there's enough seeding out there, this kind of information, so when people do have to put down the beer and get off the couch, they're going to go, damn, and there's a lot of material there. We saw it with the Levolution, a whole new generation. We're going to see it with the next war du jour of whatever the hell's going on. They're going to see it. They're going to see it. They're going to see it. And a lot of what you're doing is bringing back, look, man, we've been seeing this for a long time. Where the hell you been? You know?
Well, I agree, but it's just, it's amazing that more folks haven't seen through some of the ruses that the politicians and the agencies have used for a long time.
It's getting to where I always go, it won't happen all at once. You'll see all the stuff, but it will happen overnight. It's going to be like Monday, and the stock market drops, you know, 2,600 points, and it's game on. And the plunge protection. That's one thing I asked Ron. I just want to get his comment. After the 08 thing, they changed the reserves. That's why everybody's freaking out. They give all this money to the banks, but they're not lending it out. They're getting paid to just let it sit there. And right. I'm going, I think that I'm starting to see the reason is when Lehman went and they're freaking out and the, you know, Goldman Sachs and all their boys in the Treasury, and they go and we got to have more power in the TARP and kind of everything is going to implode. They wanted to try and create a buffer so they didn't, you know, have to do something in like 2 days. And so they create this buffer. And I asked Ron, I go, you know, that's what I'm seeing is happening. But when it happens and it's that Monday morning thing, they're going to blaze through that in the morning. I mean, it's just, you know, boom, and the money's gone, and kind of now what? So there's that now what is coming. They think they've insulated them from, you know, this crash, and I don't think so. So I don't know, but they're going to threaten you. Well, you want the new script of the GoldmanSucks.gov coin or something, don't you? You know, and I can see it coming. They're setting it up for that, and the decision of the people, they'll do what's in their best interest and turn in their green script or their purple script or whatever, but they will realize, and in the long run, it's just kind of an evolution towards reaction to all the truth that people know. A lot of that comes from your writing. I give you kudos.
Thank you. Thank you. Ernie, I hope you're right.
It's not a doubt in my mind. Either humanity continues on what they do. It's always all the technology. You go to PiratesWithoutBorders.com, you'll see all the categories, you know, communication, food, shelter, water, transportation, education, sure, energy, whatever. It's all the decentralized. Every one of those stories that we put in those categories is how new technology empowers the individual to be more self-sufficient, independent, not having to care about them. Everybody's always going to the blue pages and the white pages and find a permission slip agency if I get to do it. And I'm going, no, that's the wrong mental attitude. That's what I see is changing.
Yep, yep.
So I agree. That's my optimism. I'm not going to think the state's going to stop anything. Hell, I'd rather them repudiate the entire debt and we're done and everybody bitch and don't care, you know, because you're going to take everybody's pension and stuff anyway. So a lot of people are taking it out, putting it in crypto. That was one of the things. The local westsidebitcoins.com is a, you know, your door-to-door house call banker guy. Well, these guys, he's going, most of the people are not young. They're retirees. They're cashing in their 401ks and they're doing different, you know, diversifying over a bunch of different stuff because they know better. They've been through this. And when the crash goes, and right when they were getting ready to retire, they're going, well, that sucks, you know? So they're going into something else. That's been the majority of his purchasers of cryptos has been the retirees.
Okay. Okay.
So that's a sign.
Well, I hope they don't get burnt.
Well, I mean, you know, that's not even my point. I mean, they already got burnt. I mean, you know, it went down. It'll go up past, and they'll be fine probably. But that's not the point. It's just this attitude, this knowledge, you know. So, and props to you for making sure we got reference material to bolster us and make us the smartest guy at the water fountain in the morning.
Well, what the hell? And, you know, it's great you're out there banging away and helping to wake folks up as well, and maybe our combined effort will help.
Done. Yeah. Already done. Already, well, already, already. I claim a win. Damn it. How many minds can we free? Thanks a lot, James.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Ernie.